Good morning and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer. I'm your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host and a different course of study each weekday, so you have plenty of opportunities to avail yourself to these studies. Right now, on Thursdays, we are in the midst of a study of the book of Daniel. And today, we are going to be further considering the vision of the time of the end. We'll be looking today at Daniel chapter 11, verses 2 through 35. Last week, we began to look at this. And if you have missed previous programs in this study or any other study here on Mornings for the Master, you can go to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website, and there you can pull up previous programs and be able to listen to them at a convenient time for you. So I want to thank you again for joining me today, and let's get right into our study today. We'll go through our text. Now we'll pick up in Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. "And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with a great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven. But not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted, even for others besides these. Also, the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and at the end of some years shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. But from a branch of her roots one shall arise in his place, who shall come with an army and enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. And he shall also carry their gods captive to Egypt, with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Also, the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come up and overwhelm and pass through them. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude. But the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return, and muster a greater a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a large mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she shall not stand with him or be for him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many, but a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed. But not in anger or in battle. And in his place shall arise a vile person to whom they will not give the honor of loyalty. But he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken. With the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully. For he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably, even into the richest places of the province. And he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse them among the plunder, spoil, and riches. And he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant, so he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south. But it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved, and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary forces. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join them with them by intrigue, and some of those of understanding shall fall, to refine them, purify them, and make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still appointed for the appointed time. Now, back in chapter 10, we saw the beginning of the final vision recorded by Daniel. A vision that pertains to what will affect Daniel's people, which is Israel. Look back now to chapter 10 and verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So it is describing what will occur in the latter days. For according to verse 14 in chapter 10, the vision refers to something many days yet to come. In fact, the words of the vision were to be closed and sealed till the time of the end. Notice here in chapter 12, verse 9, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." For such reasons, this vision has been called the vision of the time of the end. Now, when we began to look at this vision, we were given a glimpse of the spiritual warfare that was going on behind the scenes, with angelic forces withstanding each other. In chapter 10, notice verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Also, chapter 10, verse 20. Then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." So, with angelic forces helping each other, we see the scene. Notice once again verse 13 now. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Chapter 10, verse 21, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. And chapter 11, verse 1, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I, even I, stood up to confirm and strengthen him. So beginning with chapter 11 and verse 2, the vision of the time of the end begins in earnest. The glorious man proceeds to tell Daniel what will happen in the latter days, as was mentioned in chapter 10, verse 14. And this begins with the Persian-Greek conflict. Now, there will be four Persian kings that will arise. Three more kings will arise in Persia, and then a fourth. Notice in our text, verse 2, "And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than them all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece." The fourth shall be richer than them all. By his strength and riches, the fourth shall stir up all against Greece. And as confirmed by history, these kings who followed Cyrus were, notice chapter 10, verse 1, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision." Now these be Cambyses, Smeridus, Darius Histopus, Darius the Great, and Xerxes, who was called Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. Notice Esther chapter 1 and verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. "Now a mighty Greek king shall rise and fall." According to verse 3, a mighty king shall arise. It says, "Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will." He shall rule with great dominion. He shall do according to his will. History would show the reference here would be to Alexander the Great. "But it is said his kingdom shall be broken and divided into four pieces." Notice verse 4. "And when he is arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven. But not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted, even for others beside these." Now this was also prophesied in chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. "And the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. The kingdom will not be given to his posterity, nor will the dominion be as great." Now, as confirmed by history, Alexander the Great's empire was eventually divided between his four generals after he died in 323 BC. Seleucus the First, who began the Seleucid or Syrian Empire, stretching from Turkey to India. Cassander, who took over Macedonia or Greece. Lysimachus, who took Thracia between Greece and Turkey, and Ptolemy the First, who ruled over Egypt. Now at this point in our text, the glorious man begins to describe an extended conflict between the kings of the north and the kings of the south, which will have a big impact on the people of Daniel, being Israel. The Egyptian-Syrian conflict. Now the Egyptian-Syrian conflict will begin. The king of the south will gain in strength. Verse 5, also, the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. This king is Ptolemy the First, who ruled Egypt from 306 to 284 B.C., as well as one of his princes who will gain power over the other. Again, look at verse 5. Also, the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. This is thought to refer to one of Alexander's princes or generals, in which case it would likely be Seleucus the First, who ruled Syria from 312 to 280 B.C. Caught in the middle between Syria and Egypt, Israel will bear the brunt of much of the conflict between those two empires. But there will be a failed alliance. The daughter of the south will go to the king of the north. Notice now, beginning in verse 6. And at the end of some years they shall join forces. For the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an arrangement, an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. The event would have occurred in the reigns of Ptolemy Philadelphus, who reigned from 284 to 246 B.C., and Antiochus Theus, reigning from 261 to 246 B.C. Bernice, the daughter of Ptolemy of Philadelphus, was given to Antiochus upon the condition that Antiochus divorce his wife Laodice, hoping to make peace between Egypt and Syria. But the text tells us the daughter of the south will not retain her authority. Verse 6. And at the end of some years they shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of her authority, neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. So, 2 years after the marriage, Bernice's father, Ptolemy Philadelphus, died. Antiochus put her away then and restored his first wife, Laodice. Laodice then killed Antiochus, and Bernice fled, but was later put to death along with her children and attendants. It tells us that the south will rise in anger. It says a branch of her roots will come with an army. Notice verse 7. But from a branch of her roots one shall arise in his place, who shall come with an army. Enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. This was Berenice's brother, Ptolemy Euergetes, whose reign would be from 246 to 221 BC. He was unable to save his sister, and he attacked Syria to avenge her death. The avenger, Ptolemy Euergetes, will succeed. Notice verse 8. And he shall also carry their gods captive to Egypt, with their princes, and their precious articles of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Euergetes took their gods, princes, and precious articles to Egypt. Euergetes ruled longer than the next Seleucid king, which was Seleucid Callinusa, who reigned from 246 to 226 BC. We see that this would cause the conflict to deepen and grow. The king of the north, Seleucid Callinicus, will try to invade the kingdom of the south. Notice verse 9. Also, the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. He does not succeed, though his son, Seleucid Cyrenus and Antiochus the Great shall stir up strife. Now one son in particular, Antiochus the Great, who reigned from 225 to 187 BC, does succeed in overwhelming Egypt and actually regains Syrian land that had been taken by Egypt. And we're told that the king of the south will respond in rage. Now notice verses 11 through 13. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage, and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude. But the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a great multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now the king of Egypt at that time is Ptolemy Philopater, who would reign from 221 to 204 BC. And angry that Antiochus the Great regained control of Syrian territory, he gathered a great army and defeated Antiochus at Raphia. His victory was short-lived, for Antiochus returned with a better-equipped army in 203 B.C. Now others will contribute to the war against the south. Verse 14, Now in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fail. This included Philip, the king of Macedon, who aligned with Antiochus. Also, some violent Jews, prompted by what they perceived as the fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. The king of the north shall prevail against the south, but then fall. Let's pick up with verse 15. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city. And the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it. But she shall not stand with him or be for him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many. But a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land. But he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Again, now, this is Antiochus the Great. The forces of the south were not able to resist him. He stood in the glorious land, Israel, with destruction in his power. He tried to strengthen his kingdom by giving his daughter in marriage. His daughter Cleopatra, given to Ptolemy Epiphanes, who reigned from 204 to 180 B.C. But Cleopatra came to favor the purposes of her husband rather than her father. Antiochus then turned his attention to the coastlands, the Mediterranean, making war with the Romans. But he was defeated by Scipio Asiaticus, a Roman military leader. Defeated by the Romans, Antiochus the Great returned home and died soon after. Now at this point, we want to focus our attention on one of the leaders of the Seleucid or Syrian Empire that would have a powerful impact upon the people of Daniel. And that is Antiochus Epiphanes, whose day would be from 175 to 164 B.C. The rise of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now first we see he was preceded by a tax collector, one who would impose taxes on the glorious kingdom of Israel, perhaps. Verse 20 says, there shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. This, likely Seleucus Philopater, reigning from 187 to 175 B.C., the oldest son of Antiochus and his immediate successor. His reign would be short-lived and would be compared to his father, who reigned 37 years, who died not in battle, but he was poisoned. And we see that after that, then, would come a vile man with no honor, would be one held in contempt, and the people will not give him honor. Verse 21 says, and in his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. His official name was Antiochus Epiphanes, the illustrious. His people referred to him as Antiochus Epimanus, or the insane. He shall take the kingdom peaceably, but with intrigue. Notice now verse 21 and following. And in his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood they shall be swept away from before him and be broken. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse them among the plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. Now this might possibly be referring to his dealings with the Egyptians, or perhaps Israel. After making a league with them, he will act deceitfully and become strong with a small number of people. And through peaceful means, he will plunder the richest places of the province. It says that he will provoke the king of the south. Notice now, beginning in verse 25. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and with the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the Holy Covenant. So he shall do damage and return to his own land. History tells us that two times Antiochus invaded Egypt. The Egyptian king, Ptolemy Physcon, sought to oppose him, but was betrayed by his own people. Both kings were deceitful liars, but their plotting was subject to the times and manner appointed by God. On his return home, Antiochus passed through Israel and was moved against the Holy Covenant, the institution of the law of Moses. It says that he would bring blasphemies against Israel. Now in verse 29 we see that once again Antiochus Epiphanes would head south toward. Notice verse 29. At the appointed time he shall return and go toward the south. But it shall not be like the former or the latter, for ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved, and return in rage against the Holy Covenant, and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. This was his third invasion, but he was not as successful as before. For Roman ships from Cyprus threatened reprisal, and in frustration he will take out his rage against the Holy Covenant. Verse 30. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return in rage against the Holy Covenant, and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. He will bring blasphemies against Israel by showing regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant, by defiling the sanctuary fortress, the temple, by taking away the daily sacrifices, and by placing there the abomination of desolation, by flattering those who do wickedly against the covenant. In the years 169 to 167 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes took the city of Jerusalem and plundered the temple. He commanded the Jews to worship the Greek idol which he set up in the temple. He put an end to daily sacrifices and polluted the altar by offering swine flesh on it. He forbid circumcision and the observance of the Sabbath and the ownership of a copy of the law. Now it was prophesied that those who know God would resist valiantly. They would be strong. Notice verses 32 and 33. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. They will carry out great exploits, instructing many. And when they fall, they shall receive aid. Now notice verse 33 again, along with verse 34. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many, Yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. So for many days they would fall by sword, flame, captivity, and plunder. They will receive a little help, even from many through intrigue. And when those of understanding fall, the purpose of it will be to refine them. Notice verse 35. And some of those of understanding shall fall, to refine them, purify them, and make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. So it will be to purge them and make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. The events described here were fulfilled during the Maccabean period, which began in 168 B.C. with the revolt of Mattathias, an elderly priest, and his five sons. Now, as we bring all of this together today, up to this point, there is very little controversy over the content of the vision. It describes the conflict between the Persians and the Greeks, followed by the conflict between the Syrians and the Egyptians. And the latter conflict is described in much detail because Israel was caught in the middle. Israel, in particular, would suffer the blasphemies of one Syrian king, Antiochus Epiphanes. But now we want to notice that from chapter 11 and verse 36 forward, there is a wide array of opinions. Some believe that Antiochus Epiphanes is still the subject here at hand. Others suggest that a Roman emperor is being described. And still others believe it refers to someone yet to come. So we will consider that in our next lesson. We won't try to go into that today. But we will look next time at the remainder of the chapter and the final chapter in our next lesson. Now, much of the historical information that we've discussed today was taken from Barnes's commentary on the book of Daniel for the historical background. So I hope you'll join me next week as we continue our study of the book of Daniel. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at this same time. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Be sure to tune in to Mornings for the Master tomorrow with your host, Brother Chip Horton. Until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.